Well, good morning, church. Austin here in my shed in my backyard. As you probably know, I tested positive for coronavirus about 10 days ago. I've been in quarantine since then. Sadly, I did not get into quarantine quickly enough because we've had four other of our staff members test positive since I tested positive. And so, y'all, just out of an abundance of caution and also due to the fact that we don't really have the manpower right now to make a service happen, we are back online and you are hearing me talk by myself in my shed in my backyard. You're probably gonna hear kids and a dog. It's gonna be fun, okay? Just because that's the place that we are in right now. And so just to let you know the road ahead, the plan is still for us to open up over at 137 Mesquite next week, which will be January 24th. I will be out of quarantine at that point. Some of the staff members who have tested positive since will not be out of quarantine. And so again, we're gonna be short a few staff members there. And so what I will tell you is that in the event that more of our staff test positive in the coming week, it is likely that we will not have the manpower or the bandwidth again to make that opening happen over at 137 Mesquite, just to be really transparent with you. Our hope and our prayer is that that will be the case and that's where we will be at. But right now we are just having to take it day by day. So if you can just be prayerful about that on our behalf, I mean, we have so appreciated your prayers in this process as we're trying to move through an unprecedented moment. Now, for this weekend, there are a couple, really two big things that are happening that need to be made note of as we get into our sermon this morning. The first is that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And man, after the year that we have had and the division that we feel as a country right now, I really feel like it would be good for all of us to pause and to take a moment and to go back and to revisit the words of Dr. Martin Luther King when he gave his I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial on August 28th, 1963, when he expressed a dream where the people of this country would rise up in unison and live out the reality that all people have been created equal. And then that dream he expressed for his four children, that they and the rest of the people of this country would be judged not for the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Man, in the moment that we are in the season that we are walking through, I don't know that there would be a better thing for us to do in this moment than to pause and to go back and to revisit the words of Dr. Martin Luther King and to be prayerful for the fulfillment of those words in our time as a culture. And so just an encouragement to really pause and to meditate on that in this season, in this moment. That's the first thing. Second is that this weekend represents our last Sunday over at 202 Cypress. And man, what I will tell you is that we all desperately wanted to actually have one final service there. I mean, that's where we've done church for the last 7 years. But again, just due to the things that are going on with us in COVID, it just wasn't in the cards for us to actually have a final physical service there because we are needing to move out of that space and then get over into our new building. And so this morning, we're going to be forced to use our imaginations a little bit and also to trust God that the details and all the messiness of what's going on right now is Him at work in the mess for what I believe will be something for the good of His bride, the church, in the years to come, okay? And so as we get into that and as we talk about and say goodbye from a distance to 202 Cypress, I'm gonna pray for us. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn over to Philippians chapter 3. That's where we're gonna be spending time this morning, but I'll pray and then we will get into the text for today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your grace today. Lord, I thank you for our ability to gather even remotely in this season as a community of faith to celebrate and to honor the years that we've had in a specific location and the way that you have used our community of faith through 202 Cypress. Father God, this morning I pray that our hearts would be stirred and in awe of all that you've done through us and for us and for the good of the community that you have placed us in. Father, we do pray for a quick end to COVID. We do pray for a season to come where this pandemic would be quieted and that we would have a season to gather together again, to not live in fear, to not be forced into a place of wearing masks, but would be able to meet face to face again. So Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, what I will say up front is that we're gonna spend a lot of time next week as we open up 137 Mesquite talking about the history of the well and the things that the Lord has done there. We're gonna get to celebrate a lot of things and do a lot of really cool things in that space. And so we're not gonna get into the weeds on the history of the well this morning. Instead, what I would like to do is to really make much of and talk about the work of the Lord through the church, the well, through 202 Cypress, which again is where we have done church for the last 7 years. And so we're gonna talk about that some, and then we will get into Philippians chapter 3 here in just a minute. Now, it's been a couple years at this point, but Dave McQueen over at Beltway, I heard him say at one point to his entire staff that the Well Church had done the most with the absolute worst church space that he had ever seen. Okay, now that may be true. I felt like it was a little bit unfair because there's some cool things about our space. Like, what other church have you been to that when you turn on the heater in the main space, it smells like you have just lit a really nice Cohiba cigar, right? Like, that is a lingering scent when you do church in an old cigar shop. Or what other church have you been to where when you drop your children off at children's ministry, it's in a totally different building than the place that you actually worship. And there's only one room and you sit there wondering the whole time if your kid's gonna contract tetanus while you're in service. I mean, that's a unique thing to a church. Or what other church have you been to where when you go to the bathroom in the middle of service, when you come out of the bathroom, do you get to make direct eye contact with the guy who's on stage? I mean, McQueen, he didn't get to do that kind of stuff, right? Like, that's some cool things. That's some unique stuff. Or what other church do you get to watch baptisms in a horse trough and then see the pastors of the church try to suck siphon all the water out of that trough with water hose after the baptismal service? That's unique to us, right? So there are some, man, there's some interesting janky things about our church. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things that I'm not going to miss about 202 Cypress. But the reality is that the Lord has done some incredible and unbelievable things through that janky space and the life of our church over the last 7 years. Like, man, one of the sweetest things for me personally has been to see people who have come to the well over the years that had grown up in church and always associated Christianity simply as showing up at a building on Sunday morning and trying to adhere to some code that is pushed on them throughout the services. And so Christianity is simply a weekend hobby and then not cussing or drinking or smoking or listening to secular music. And that, in the sum total in their mind, was Christianity. To then have the Lord just wreck their hearts and show them that the reality of the Christian faith is rooted in and a constant celebration of the message of the gospel in Jesus Christ, which shows us that Jesus has earned our acceptance before God apart from our moral actions for God. You see, the gospel message tells us that belief in Jesus and regeneration of the Spirit causes us as believers to be completely transformed from what we were into a new creation, such that now when God sees us, when his gaze is drawn towards us, he doesn't see us in our brokenness. He doesn't see us defined by our sin, but instead, as the scriptures tell us, as believers, we are hidden in the righteousness of Christ, that we are identified and defined by the very righteousness of Jesus. Those are our clothes. That's how we are seen in God's eyes as perfect children. See, and since my story is that of being a religious, Pharisaical, Bible Belt kid that God woke up to the realities of the gospel when I was in my 20s and completely changed my life. To get to see that take place over and over again through the work of the Well Church has been one of the most exciting and humbling things that I've ever got to experience in church life. And that has happened through that janky space at the Well at 202 Cypress. Not only that, but we've also got to see the Lord take people who had no context for church and no background in the Christian faith. Then again, the Lord wake up to the realities of his son, Jesus Christ, through the message of the gospel. Not only that, but through the work that we've gotten to see the Lord do over at 202 Cypress, one of the most exciting things has been to see this authentic community, sin-sharing, win-celebrating community that has really developed through the work of God in that space. To see the number of people who have walked into our doors and then really come out of the religious shadows of moral activity to actually be known by other brothers and sisters through the work that's happened in that janky space. To see people who finally can come forward and confess and repent of the things that they'd always tried to hide from people in other church contexts. And instead to bring those things into the light and then to walk in freedom with other brothers and sisters who can acknowledge their own brokenness with them as well. And to celebrate the Lord's goodness and faithfulness and his forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. To be able to see that take place, that level of authentic Christian community has been one of the most exciting things I, again, have ever experienced in a church context. So, man, there is so much for us as a community to celebrate and be thankful for us to point at and say, God has done something unique and particular through this community of people in that janky space, nothing that we could have ever planned for or made happen on our own, but out of God's unmerited mercy and grace, he's given us the privilege of being a part of it. Man, there is so much for us to celebrate as a people. Man, one of my favorite pictures that comes out of the Old Testament is that of the wandering Israelites in the wilderness. And during those 40 years of the people of God wandering through the wilderness, God would do these miraculous and profound and typically terrifying things among his people. And whenever there was that moment when God had been particularly faithful, particularly providing of a certain need, God would have his people go out and gather up some rocks. And then they would get together and build this big mound of rocks out there in the wilderness so future generations that would pass by that mound could point to it when their kids say, "What's that one about?" And they could say, "That's the place that God was faithful to your grandparents. That's the place that God provided miraculously. When his people didn't know where they were going to get sustenance from, that's where God moved." And man, in my mind, in the years to come, that's what 202 Cypress is going to be. When you go past that building and when you see it, that we would speak of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us as a community of people through that old cigar shop. To see that God can work through B-team type folks in that type of janky situation to see lives changed and hearts transformed through Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit. So man, again, there is much to celebrate, much for us to be thankful for. But then for all the good that's been done through that space in our church, at the end of the day, it is still just a building. It is just a tool that the Lord has given us in a certain season to see the gospel gain ground, to see darkness push back for the last 7 years as a church. And so even though we are moving into a new space, our purpose and existence has not changed one bit. And as I thought about that, the fact that we are moving, but at the end of the day, the goalpost is the same, and it's the gospel. It's pushing back darkness, the gospel gaining ground, the fact that that is the end and the aim that made me think about this passage out of Philippians chapter 3. And so again, I know it's taken us a little bit to get there, but if you have your Bibles, go Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look here at verse 1 through 3 first. And this is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, which is in modern day Greece. And he says this, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." This is a little bit ridiculous because it seems like Paul's kind of landing the plane on everything that he said in the previous two chapters. But at the end of the day, he's kind of just getting started. He's just halfway through the book here. I don't know why he starts it with finally, but he says, finally, or maybe in conclusion, or maybe this is the most important thing, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me and it's safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. See, I think what Paul is doing in this text is really paring down the life of a Christian to its most basic elements, right? If you go and read some of the rest of his writings, you see kind of that this is really represented in everything else that he's saying. And so we could really see these three verses kind of as the Christian life in miniature. And this is what he says first off, that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And man, that's massive because if you remember the setting with which Paul was writing this letter, I mean, he is in a Roman prison cell. He has probably been there for a couple of years. He's awaiting his own death. And he has been forgotten by the church in Rome because they are jealous of him and jealous of his influence. And so they have tried to just forget that he's even in their city. And so this church in Philippi has pulled together their meager resources and they have sent Paul some sustenance and sent Paul some support while he's forgotten in that Roman prison cell. Because again, there's no state-sponsored prisons in the first century. If you wanted to be fed, if you wanted clothes, if you wanted anything, your friends on the outside had to give it to you on the inside. And so what Paul is doing is he is writing a thank you letter back to this church in Philippi. And all the way through it, there's this consistent theme of rejoicing, of giving thanks. And what Paul says here is finally, the first thing in the Christian life is that for us to rejoice in the Lord, for us to give thanks in the Lord. And it doesn't, just by Paul's example, it doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances that we're walking through. The work of the Spirit in our hearts can allow us to have a joy that supersedes and goes beyond the things we're experiencing in our temporal moment. Now, I think that's a word that we need to hear in the season that we're in right now as I sit in my shed in my backyard, COVID positive, okay? Second thing, he says to watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now, without some context, this is a very weird statement, but what Paul is talking about here and speaking into here is that there is a group of Christians in the church in Philippi that were Jewish converts. And so they were Jewish Christians that were trying to meld the Jewish faith with Christianity. And the message that was coming out from these people and being peddled towards the Gentiles is that, yes, Jesus is awesome. Yes, we are saved by grace. But in order for you to really receive the full blessing of God, in order for you to really be considered a child of God, you need to take on the mark of circumcision. In other words, you need to become a Jew before you become a Christian in order for you to be really in the people of God. And if you read the rest of Paul's writings, there is nothing that gets Paul more worked up as a writer than when people try to add works onto their God-given divine work salvation. Because what Paul knows to be true and what the rest of Scripture points us towards is that you and I add nothing to our salvation. It is a free gift of God. There are no moral actions that we can engage in that would give a greater efficacy to our salvation, that would make our salvation more poignant or more real in our lives. Instead, salvation is something that is given to us by the free grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so here, what Paul is telling them is that if you try to add any moral work from human hands to the message of the gospel, you actually no longer have the gospel at all. You can go read the book of Galatians, and Paul walks us through that more so. Okay, so the two points that are taken here together is to say, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in Jesus because of his work of salvation on your behalf. And then also to be consistently reminded that you did nothing to earn it. There's nothing in your life that points you to this idea that God loves you because you've done something for him, which is a consistent message that you and I need to hear, especially in this moment, because we are all in our lives prone to think, once we become Christians, that yes, we are saved by grace, but we also tend to think, because all of us come out of the womb thinking we're awesome, we also have this tendency to think, yeah, God saved me by grace, but you know, I'm actually not that bad of a guy. You know, I'm a deacon or I'm an elder at my church. I am not too shabby of a husband. I've got kids that are relatively functional. I'm a good provider. I don't cuss unless I hurt myself. I don't drink too much. And so because of that life that I've lived, of course, you know, God loves me, right? There's something inside of us that wants to take back control and take back a claim to say, God loves me because of this thing that I've done, but the gospel doesn't allow us to do that. God doesn't allow us to do that through the message of the scripture. See, and that mindset is specifically prevalent in the time and place that we are today. There is a kind of subsect of the Christian world that has been defined as the health and wealth gospel, but it's again this message that says that God has saved me by grace, but at the end of the day, I'm not a crook. I tithe all my money. I'm good to my wife. My children are okay. And so because of all of those things, God owes me a blessing. Because I'm a good person, God could not allow me to go bankrupt. Because I'm a pastor, God couldn't allow me to get COVID or to break my neck, right? And it's that kind of give and get relationship that comes from that specific subset that is totally unrepresentative of the relationship that is expressed in the pages of scripture with God. See, you and I have nothing to give to our salvation. We did not deserve God's grace. We have not earned his blessing. Even the most righteous deeds that we can muster in our lives are considered filthy rags before God. And yet, God has still saved us. He has still chosen us. He has still called us. He still has classified us as perfect children of God. We did not deserve anything in our lives, and yet through Christ, we have been given everything. So therefore, church, rejoice in the Lord. And don't be lulled into thinking that we can add to our salvation, that God loves us because of something we've done. He just loves us because he does, because of grace in our lives. So may we rejoice in the Lord and rest in the favor that we have in Christ Jesus. Now let's continue to read here, verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm convinced that Paul is not saying here that we need to try to work ourselves into some type of amnesia where we forget all the things that are behind us, but rather this is a call for us to keep looking forward. This is a call for us not to dwell on all of those past failures that we feel shame and guilt from when they come into our minds. But it's also a call not to dwell on all our past successes that we've found our identity and definition and pride in. But rather, this is a call for us to leave what has happened in the past and to press on to what the Lord has for us in the future. I think this is a call for us to continue moving towards what God has for us in this community. And man, as I thought about that idea of pressing on, I don't know why that word specifically, that statement has stuck in my brain this week. But as I thought about it, I think for us as a church, I can imagine a world where we could have an attitude or a mindset in the future where we could look back on these last 7 years of God's faithfulness to us over at 202 Cypress and all the things that he's done and the ways that he's worked and the ways that the gospel has come alive in the hearts of people. And for us to then think, man, back then was when God was really moving. Like when the well, before we got all fancy and had fancy stuff like a lobby and carpet and multiple bathrooms, when we were just in that janky space that smelled like cigars and was covered up in tetanus and the pastors suck siphoned waters out of the trough that they had just baptized people in, that was when God was really at work. That was the truest expression of the church, when things were just simple and ridiculous. That was when God was really moving. Well, guys, the reality is we don't have to depreciate and we don't have to forget the things that God has done in the past, but we are not allowed to dwell on those things. We are not allowed to sit around and just reminisce about the good old days before the well got all fancy and had a building, right? The call from Paul here is for us to press on, for us to move forward, for us to continue gaining ground and pushing back darkness in this community that God has placed us in, to proclaim the gospel, to see Jesus Christ glorified, for us to plant churches, for us to send out missionaries, for us to put other communities of faith, even in Abilene, for us to train leaders, and for us to make much of Jesus Christ at every single turn in the road. This has been the call of the well in the past, and this is exactly what we're called to in the future. And so we can celebrate all that God's done back there, but man, I can't tell you how excited I am about what's coming for us as a community of faith. And so I think there is this call to press on, which tells us, again, it's this kind of internal litmus that tells us we can't just be content with the things that have taken place. We can't just dwell on the ways that God has worked in the past, but instead we are called towards this kind of holy type of discontentment for the things that are coming in the future. For us to be anticipatory about what the Lord is going to do through this community of faith, not because we're awesome, not because we have the best personalities, not because we have a sweet looking building, but instead because we are submitted and surrendered to the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, and we are dedicated to doing all that he would have for us here in the future. And so because of those things, church, may we rejoice in the Lord for all that he's done on our behalf and the definition and identity he's given us freely through his sacrifice on the cross, knowing that we, you and I, have done nothing to add any measure of efficacy or worth to that salvation and that relationship that we have with God, but it's been given freely to us in Jesus. May we rejoice in that, and may we press on. May we not sit by complacently. May we look forward with anticipation to the things that our good Father has for us in the future. Man, I'm excited about our church. I'm excited about what God is going to do. Again, man, the place that I have to land as a pastor in the midst of a season and even a week that has felt like one of the messiest that I've lived in my, you know, 30-ish 9 years, okay? I'm about to be 40. But in that season of life, the last couple weeks have been some of the roughest. And I have to believe, man, that the Lord is at work in the mess and that he is doing something for the good of his bride, even in the middle of things that just don't make sense to us in the moment. And so I love you guys. I'm excited to gather with you next week. Okay, again, that's pending the rest of our staff staying COVID negative this coming week. But man, I am so, so excited about what's coming for us to gather again together over at 137 Mesquite. So please plan on being there for that. And I'm going to pray for us. Man, I appreciate you spending this much time with me in my shed. I have a little audience here of my children, probably wondering what daddy's doing and why he's lost his mind talking to the ladder that he's set up in the shed. So I love you guys, man. I'm going to pray for us and we'll be done. Lord God, we thank you for your grace. I thank you for this season. Even though it's confusing and even though there's all sorts of things for us to learn anew and to navigate as a community, Father God, I pray for us as a church. I do pray for safety. Father God, I pray for a quick end to COVID. I pray for symptoms for our staff and our members that are COVID positive, that they would be mild symptoms and that we would recover from those miraculously quickly. Lord, and more than anything, I pray that your purposes would be made known to us in the midst of the mess. God, this weekend, as we step into Martin Luther King weekend, Monday being Martin Luther King Day, would you give us just a Holy Spirit sense of longing that Dr. Martin Luther King had as well, to live in a country that would acknowledge that all people are created equal, where people would not be judged by the color of their skin or by even the by the pictures on their Facebook account, but instead by the content of their character. Lord God, would you work in us to be peacemakers in a world that feels so divided right now? God, at the end of the day, we trust you. We believe you are working. We know that you're for us. So Lord, we love you. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.